Now, you remember we read the scripture a few minutes ago that when Jesus raised from the dead, and when he saw Mary out in the garden, he said, go and tell my brethren that I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Father, we praise you. Father, we praise you. Father, we praise you that you are our Father. You've declared yourself to be our Father. You've declared yourself that you are our Father and our God. And this day, Lord God, when we celebrate sending Hallmark cards, we give you glory. Because even sending a Hallmark card causes me to remember my Father. Not just my earthly Father, but my heavenly Father. So thank God for worldly stuff and money-making deals that cause me to remember my Father in heaven. So when the Father's Day comes, I remember my Father. I remember my Father in heaven. I say, Father, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. You know, because you're happy. You're happy with me because I received Jesus. You're happy with me because I said yes. Because I said amen. Because I believed. John said, these things are written so that you might believe. And Father, we believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. That I've been transformed and changed into His image from the heart, from the Spirit. I'm regenerated. I'm brand new. I'm made new. I'm made new because of my Father. Because of the adoption of sons. He chose you. He adopted you. And you said amen. And you agreed. He said, I'll be adopted by Him. So He is my Father today. He is your Father today. And Lord, we thank you that today your Scripture will encourage us and cause us to be made again in our soul, renewed, changed, and transformed. Changed into your image because we know who our Father is. And we know who is raising us and lifting us up and causing us to be made in His image as we believe. And we give you the praise and the thanksgiving for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I'll read you some scripture. I think we usually do a little bit of that. In the Sermon on the Mount, I'm going to talk about three specific things today. Talking about the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus speaking in Matthew speaks to the Jews primarily. And when he's speaking to the Jews, he's speaking to them in a way that is redefining how they think about God. Redefining how they think about God because he's bringing God into a new perspective for them in the book of Matthew. It's the book of the kingdom, but the kingdom that he's talking about is the kingdom that the Jews are expecting. What kind of a kingdom are they expecting? What kind of a God are they expecting? What kind of a Father are they expecting? What kind of kingdom are we talking about? Then, of course, we have in Hebrews, the Father who is our Father, who chastises, who chastens, who disciplines, who raises us up, changes us, causes us to be made in His image. Something we won't cover today, but I've alluded to it, is the adoption of sons. Because God chose you. God chose you. He chose you to adopt you. Amen? He looked out about the crowd and He chose you to adopt you. All who would believe Well, here's somebody who believes, and well, now they don't look quite good enough. No, he said, whosoever will come. Whoever will believe. Not whoever will act right. I said I wasn't going to talk about this. Whoever will not act right, we don't accept. No, he didn't say that. He said, whoever believes, that's the one he'll adopt, is the one who will believe. Amen? Many are called, but few are chosen. What are the chosen? Chosen are the ones who believe. All are called, few are chosen. Chosen are the ones who believe. Did you believe? Who knows why? Did you believe? You're chosen. You're redeemed. Because you received His sacrifice. You're the chosen of God. Didn't mean you fixed up, did right, and acted right, and did everything correctly, did everything properly. No! Heavens no! If you could have done that, there would have been no need for you to have a Redeemer. Amen? Yes. There would have been no need for you to have a Redeemer. If you could have done something right, maybe you could have worked it up and worked at it real hard and done well. It's absolutely, positively impossible. Amen? It's impossible. Absolutely impossible. You have no capacity for good. God said it. Pastor Jim preached on it 2 weeks ago. You have no capacity for good whatsoever. And God chose you. Isn't that... Oh, man, what a relief. It's like God knows that. Amen? God knows that. That you have absolutely no capacity to fulfill righteousness, to do good things. He said, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Be perfect. Well, the be perfect part is believe. I said the be perfect part is believe. Why? Because He doesn't really want you to be perfect? No. It's because He has already perfected you from the Spirit that is regenerate by the Word of God. So therefore you believe and then you begin to be changed. You don't correct behavior. You believe. And God begins to change you. See, you spend time in His presence. You spend time worshiping Him. You spend time allowing Him to speak to your heart to deliver you from sin. It's only in His presence, though. You don't fix up and then go, hey, God, how'd I look today? Comb your hair real nice. Put on your suit and, you know, like Dave, you know, where Dave and his, you know, hey, just come as you are, praise the Lord. Amen? Glory to God. Just come in, come in shorts, you know, put some socks on. The guy had socks, that's good. You know, amen? Yeah, praise the Lord. Come as you are. Come as you are. Come on in. Come on in. You know, see, a lot of people here are nervous. A lot of people do not come as they are. So they were nervous. They thought they, you know, needed to come and dress up or something. You know, thought they'd get wet and rained on and look bad. I don't know why people don't come. Praise the Lord. Are we mad at them? Nah. Hey, praise the Lord. I'll preach to y'all. Y'all just happened to show up here. Obviously had nothing better to do today. I mean, you know, didn't have any fathers, I guess. You didn't have a father, maybe. I don't know, you know. Yeah, maybe you thought Pastor Jim was going to be here, fooled you. Praise the Lord. They thought I was going to be in Dallas today. Fooled them. Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. So he's beginning to describe the kingdom of God. Now listen, I'm going to read you the Father Scriptures. Otherwise, it'd take a long time to read this passage. Verse 16, Matthew 5, 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That's funny already. And glorify your Father. He didn't say my Father. Obviously, He's His Father because it's Jesus. But He says they may glorify your Father. Did you read that? You know, it's funny because it's a lot of this in here. Because Jesus is beginning to transform their thinking, and I'm going to transform your thinking. by the Word of God. Your thinking has to be changed and transformed. You're used to this world. You kind of grew up here. You know your way around. Right? I mean, if I go turn on the light switch, I expect the lights to come on. I know how things, that kind of thing works. If I want my car to go, I know I need to put gas in it. I know how this world works pretty much, kind of, sort of. I know how to manipulate you. See, haven't you learned how to do all kinds of things in this world to manipulate people, your husband, your wife, and get them to do what you want them to do, and they still won't do it? Yet your mother, your sister, your brother, your friends, you know how to twist people around and put them in the box just the way you want them. You know how to twist God around, put Him in the box that you want Him in. Huh? Amen? Put Him in the box I want Him in. No. See, the people in that day and the people in this day have got God in a certain box, and Jesus has come to let God out of the box. No! Gosh! Don't let God out of the box. I got Him in a box, and I don't want to let Him out. He might have some ideas of His own. Amen. I know I got my little box at home, and I keep God in it, and I'd like to just keep Him there so He doesn't... I mean, you don't tell Him what He'd do. There's no telling what God would do if you let Him out. Amen? So we got to keep Him in a box. How many know God? You can't keep God in a box? Now, you got a little box right here that you keep God out of your box. Get out of there! God's trying to get in your box. You're trying to keep Him out. You think you got Him in a box. The only problem is He wants in yours. He wants to come inside and clean out your box. He wants to throw some stuff out. Oh, I thought we were talking about Father's Day. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. He's changing their mind. God's not just God. Oh. I didn't learn how to use this microphone. Here it is. God. Like Paul was talking about earlier, Yahweh. Well, you can't say Yahweh, so you go, mm. Did you know that's how the Jews say Yahweh? It's like, mm. So they say Adonai. Lord, that means the big cheese, the big guy. But they won't say His name. Mm. Did you know that's how you say Yahweh? Mm. It's YHWH. Is kind of the transliteration of the Hebrew letters. And if you say, and the Y has a Y to it, and H, of course, a H, and a W, it's a W. So you can see why God is pretty much, And you can't really say it, because it's just kind of a, did you know God's kind of a breath? Ruach. Everybody say Ruach. See, that's air, that's breath. Like pneuma in the New Testament. It means spirit. All it means is breath. It's all God is. Jesus said it in John 4. He said Jesus is a spirit. God is a spirit. Not Jesus, but God. God is a spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. See, you worship Him in breath. You worship Him by spirit. See, your spirit is breath. See, he puts. I'm kind of doing something down here, Norman. It must be the God sound. Hey, Norman, I think I'm feeding back a little bit. We're hearing some God here. Breath, the God, your Father which is in heaven, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay, Matthew 5:45. That was Matthew 5:16. 5:45, that you may be. Or verse 44 says, I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. And do good to them that hate you. What stupid ideas right there. And pray for them which despitefully use you. Well, that's people even close to me. And persecute you. That you may be the children of your Father. Send to me like that. Well, that's what God must do. that you may be children of, everybody say, your Father, which is in heaven, which he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Verse 48, be you therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Next verse, 6. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, your offerings before men, to be seen of them. You see my offering? See, this is a $100 bill. See that offering plate? There you go. Pretty good giver, aren't I? Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father. Interesting. We think about that particular scripture, talking about, don't let your giving be seen before men, to kind of pump yourself up. But he uses then the term your Father. That otherwise you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms, your offering, do not sound a trumpet, here I come, as you do the hypocrites do in the synagogues. I think there were actually people that did that. That you may have glory of men. Truly, I say, they have the reward. But when you do alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret. And your Father, your Father, your Father. Now again, you got to remember, that the Jews looked at God like God way off there, God. Okay? And see, a lot of you feel that way. Now in your head, in your head, you know that you've been taught that God is good and He loves you, and God's kind of like Jesus, and Jesus brings up the little children in His lap. You kind of know that in your head, but then you think, God. And you've got this emotional aspect of God, because you have a Father, as we'll talk about later in Hebrews, that your vision of Father is not Jesus' idea of Father. Your idea of Father is not God's idea of Father. Your idea of Father is a guy with a strap. Your idea of Father is a guy with a belt, or worse. Your idea of Father is not God's idea of Father. Then you look at the Old Testament and you're going, my, that guy, he was wiping people out in wholesale lots. You know what he was doing? No, he was doing that for his people. He's doing it for his people. He loves his people. He's adopted you. Remember, he's adopted you? I said we weren't going to talk about that, but we are. He's adopted you. He chose you. He said, whosoever believes. Now, you need to take that and agree with it. I believe that Jesus Christ, now you need to say these words and write them down, take them with you, is that I believe. Regardless of your emotional state of mind in any given situation, in any given time of day or night, whenever all heck is breaking loose, whenever all trouble is coming upon you, that I believe. Because your emotions will take you every which way. Your emotions will rule you. Amen? It's because you don't understand. You don't know what's going on. You remember, Pastor Jim's been preaching in Job. Well, Job doesn't know what's going on. One thing he does know is God is good. And then he's got some friends. Yoo-hoo. Boy, it's good to have friends, isn't it? He's got some friends coming down to sit down with him and estimate and kind of line out and estimate the problem. Well, let's see. Let's examine the problem and find out what's going on, and we'll fix it together. How many know sometimes all the friends in the world cannot help you when you're in it with God? Huh? I mean, when you're in it with God, it's just you and God. Amen? Listen, God wants you to know that He loves you. And no matter what kind of trouble and problem you're going through, that He will bring you through it. Now, you see, my Job was in a heap of trouble. His wife said, just curse God and die. I'm tired of watching you suffer. His friends were all trying to figure out what sin he committed. I mean, it just goes on for You ever read Job? It goes on for chapters and chapters and chapters on end. You know, a little, you know, little tit for tat, little, okay, they talk, okay, Eliphaz, you know, Bildad the Shuhite, he was the smallest guy in the Bible, by the way. Okay. And then there's the other guy. All right. So, I mean, you got all kinds of people helping you. Glory to God. All kinds of people helping you. Listen. See, God says, believe. You know, Job did the one thing. He believed. He did the one thing he believed. What happened at the end of the book? Everybody remember? Oh, glory to God. Yeah. Job just believed. Did he do anything? Did he fix anything? Did he repent of his sins or find out what they were? Or, do you remember any of that? No, he got to the end. It was like, you know, no matter, whatever it is, I trust God. How about you? Whatever it is, I trust you. Whatever it is, I trust you. Whatever I'm going through, whatever problem is happening, whatever trouble is going through, God, I believe you. I trust you. Whether it's children, mothers, fathers, church members, whoever it is, whatever it is that is going absolutely wrong, trust it. I can't. No, it's true. You can't. In your flesh. Because you're talking about emotions. You're talking about your emotional state of mind. Don't correct your emotional state of mind. Listen to me. Don't correct your emotions. Speak over your emotions. Speak what you know. Don't correct your feelings. Does anybody understand what I'm telling you? It's like you know, when you're going nuts and crazy and all of a sudden the phone rings and you answer the phone, hello? I mean, what happened to your emotions then? You're going, and all of a sudden, hello? What happened there? Does anybody know what happened there? Is you can take authority over emotions by the things that you know, by the truth that you know. Somebody's going to know that we're having a big fight if I answer the phone. Hello? Huh? I remember we'd call up when Robert and Janet were here, you know, and the kids were growing up, and our kids and their kids and everything else, you'd call up over there and, you know, we'd be talking to Robert, and they'd hear Janet in the background yelling at the kids, "What are you doing?" And just, you know, Robert just keep talking. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And Janet's going, you know, at the back. Just, they didn't care. Praise the Lord. Don't worry about it. Well, my point is this, is that you know how to corral your emotions when it suits you, don't you? Don't you? You know how to corral your emotions when it suits you, when it'll help you out. You know what? It'll help you out if you'll just say, Jesus is Lord over this circumstance. Jesus is Lord over my mind. Jesus is Lord over everything that is beating my whole life up. And I trust you. Jesus, I trust you. My emotions are going, ooh. Huh? They call it noise while I'm preaching. You know what I mean? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Your emotions are going absolutely haywire. And yet you say, Lord, I believe. Because you know the truth. So he said, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Okay, we're in Matthew chapter 6. Said that your alms may be in secret, that your Father, which sees in secret, himself shall reward you openly. Your Father. I'm going to keep reading these, get through them quickly. You, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut the door, verse 6 of chapter 6, pray to your Father. See, this is brand new stuff. Pray to your Father. The Jews are like, why? Pray to your Father. pray to your Father, which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Verse 8. Be you not like, verse 7 says, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. You know, just some kind of vain repetition, something written down for you that just you would repeat over and over and over again as if God is impressed by some rattling off of your mouth. For they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. Don't be therefore like unto them. For your Father knows the things that you have need of before you even ask them. And after this manner pray, our Father. Verse 14, chapter 6 says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, I'm reading these to make a point. Is that every time Jesus is talking to them, he's not talking about, he doesn't say, my Father. Every time he's talking, he says, your Father. He's reshaping their thinking. How many know God is reshaping your thinking? That it's not about you fixing up, doing good, being good, helping God out. I mean, Jesus died for this. Jesus died for you. For your righteousness, for your goodness to come forth by His Spirit. So you go into your closet, you worship the Lord, you thank Him, you praise Him, and then when you come out, you're under His authority. Sometimes. But you're praising Him. You're spending your days praising Him. You begin to learn how to praise Him. You begin to learn how to praise Him out of your mouth, even when your emotions are going crazy. Even when you're at work with some idiot over doing something that's, man, just driving you absolutely up a tree. Father, thank you that you love them. See, your mind is changing. You're now loving your enemies because God has loved you. He's changing your mind. He's changing your mind. You don't change your mind. God changes your mind. The Holy Spirit, which indwells you, is changing your mind. Everybody say, I believe. Everybody say, I believe. See, you're determined you're going to believe that God said He's going to change you. He's going to transform you by His promise, by His Word, and by His Spirit. Do you believe that? Say, I believe. Say, it's very good. So you need to say these things. Say these things. I will say of the Lord. Remember what the psalm said? I will say, I will think of the Lord. But it does tell you to think on these things in Philippians. Psalms, he says, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. Okay, chapter 6. Verse 15, but if you will not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Verse 18, 17 and 18, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Don't look like you've been fasting. Well, he looks terrible. Must have been fasting. That you appear not to men to fast, but to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. So your Father sees your alms, your prayers, and your forgiving. And your fasting in secret. And your Father rewards you openly. Chapter 6, verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air. Matthew chapter 26, chapter 6, verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father. Listen, he's talking about your. Again, he's changing their mind. You hear me? See, God is doing this, he's changing your mind. He wants you to know that he's your Father, not just Jesus' Father. This is your Father. He is your Father. See, he's a day, this is a time after time after time after time. He's describing the heavenly Father as their Father. Because he's taking out of your mind the idea of your Father being the guy that, you know, lives back at the house. But your Father is the guy who is in heaven who is taking care of you, who is loving you, who is caring for you from heaven. Happy Father's Day, God. Your Father feeds those birds of the air. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? He didn't say it was the bird's father, did he? He didn't say it was the bird's father. He says, your father. Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to put on? For after all these things that the Gentiles seek, for your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of them. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Chapter 7, verse 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask? There's one more in here somewhere. I'm sure it was a good one. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12. He's changing their mind. He's changing their mind. Jesus came to change your mind. Amen? Then He came to deliver you. He came to change your mind. He's changing your mind. Your mind is being changed. The way you think is being changed because of what is happening on the inside of you. See, your spirit is being regenerated because you believe. Your spirit is regenerated. You are now in the kingdom of God. He's translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, and He's transforming you and changing your mind. Every day we see that we see the Word of God, which says, be perfect. And every day we fail. So every day we go to the cross, we go to Jesus and receive by believing. We receive by believing mercy. But now we receive also by believing the Holy Ghost. You don't just now start from scratch, okay, Jesus saved me, so now I'm going to carry it from here. Amen? See, the church of our day, and for many, many generations and centuries, has been all about carrying the cross for Jesus. So take up your own cross. Well, but your own cross is the fact that you're full of unbelief. Huh? Take up your cross daily and follow me. Your body, your mind, according to this world, has to die. Everything that you think about who you are and what you do in this world has to die every day because it stands up and trumpets its strength every day. Even if you're trumpeting how bad you are and how awful you are, how about the goodness of God? How good is God today to love you, to forgive you, to walk with you, to lift you and to strengthen you and to say that I am your Father and I love you. Every day He's your Father. Every day. Every day. Your dad left you in good hands, Jerry. The hands of your Father. He left you in good hands. He left you in the hands of your Heavenly Father. He knew. Holly, your daddy knew in that moment that he was leaving you in the hands of Jesus, in the hands of your Heavenly Father. You're not without a father. Your Heavenly Father is even closer now than when He appeared, when you first knew Him. You have a Heavenly Father. who loves you, cares for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Think on these things. Hebrews chapter 12. Talked about this a few weeks ago, but it works here. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, a lot of people who have gone before us, let us lay aside every weight. There are weights in your mind, in your brains, that continue to keep you from believing because you are believing this world. You believe what you see and what you hear rather than what you have gleaned from the Word of God and what you gain from your heart, from the Spirit of God. So right now we have to say, no, in the name of Jesus Christ, I do not agree with this world. I don't agree with their solution. I don't agree with their premise. You ever watch these guys, you know, asking questions of the politicians and of the president? Well, and you find out the guys don't answer the question. You ever notice that? Huh? He didn't even answer the question. And you're offended that the guy didn't answer the question. But I tell you what, the guy was smart because he knew that the question came from a wrong premise. Anybody know anybody else like that? Who asks questions like that? Huh? Oh, the devil. Am I saying something? No, I'm not saying anything about those poor news people. I wouldn't say anything about them. But the fact is, it's a very good manner of kind of getting information or getting people to answer a question that you want them to answer. And you set the premise. You set the parameters. You set the premise of the question in a little box, and already, by asking the right question, you put somebody in a box. That's what you do to God, isn't it? You put God in a box. Remember that box you have with God in Him? You ask your questions of God so that He is in that box, and you can make Him answer. You know, you can make God answer the way that you either want Him to answer or expect Him to answer, so He's the bad guy or you're the good guy. And see, and that's how these questions get asked, even by the reporters, but even by the devil. Jesus took the questions that the devil asked, and He disallowed the parameters. He said, it's not even a question. That's not even a question that, you know, you're not even asking the right question. He said, it is written. See, the devil would say, it is written, but Jesus would then ignore that and say, it is written. See, the devil wanted to use the Scripture to trap Jesus, and Jesus says, no, it's written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. The angels will come down, and lest you dash your foot against a stone, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So you have to come back, and you have to hear the Holy Spirit. You have to hear the Holy Spirit. See, your emotions and this entire world and your circumstances and your own brains will set questions in a way that will come against the Word of God. Did you know that? You will have your own set of criteria by which you judge the Word of God because of your experience. You will ask a question based on your experience so that you can get the best answer to satisfy your flesh. Huh? Does that mean anybody know what I'm talking about? You will just take the Word of God and stretch it all kinds of ways. It's because you have been taught to care for your flesh, to take care of your flesh, even though your flesh is dying because of the way in which you're interpreting the Scripture. But you're opening the door. You're allowing for sin. You're allowing for you to get away from God. See, God wants to do one thing with your flesh. What does He want to do with it? He wants to kill it. He wants to destroy the flesh. That is, the thought process that you have in this world that is allowing you to continue to live in sin and in destruction. And if we'll look here at this portion of the Scripture, we have a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight, that is, all that emotional bondage, that all of those things that we have thought and been taught and learned how to react. Anybody know you know how to react when something happens to get your way? Girls? Guys? Well, that's all there is, girls and guys. Because guys do it too. They do the same. And the sin, which, you know, and the sin, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin that does so easily beset us. And that's what that is. It's just sin. It's just sin. It's just me protecting me. And you know what? I believe in a lie every time. I'm believing a lie every time by trying to protect my sin. Because all I'm doing is perpetuating my death. I'm never learning how to trust God. And my outward life is being absolutely destroyed. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's because I'm perpetuating my sin, which makes me feel good. Okay, I'll give an example. Eating chocolate. Having a Frosty. Praise the Lord. But I'll make every excuse in the world to go down and get my Frosty. But I'm growing and growing and growing, getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And one day I'm just going to explode. But I'm going to explode happy because I had my Frosty. Hallelujah. But what's it going to do? It's going to kill me. Amen? There's so many things that I'm doing, it's going to kill me. Now, some of you may not like a Frosty, but some of you may like something else. Some of you may get turned on by something else that you just love to just pamper your flesh. It may be your ability to cry and whine and complain. You may just love every excuse to complain. You may love every excuse you have to do one sin or another sin. But because it's your cake and carry your little flesh. You're taking, what does this have to do with the Father? Well, we're going to get to it right now. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What's patience? Where does it come from? Where's patience come from? Galatians chapter 5, 6. Fruit. It's fruit of the Spirit. Spirit. God's Spirit. The Spirit living on the inside of you. God produces fruit. You're the branch. He's the vine. Fruit comes through the branch out onto the twig. Fruit's produced. Takes some time. Fruit, how long do you plant a tree one day and get fruit the next? I'll sit down until y'all think about that for a while. Somebody say no. Like real loud. No. That's a good answer. Run with patience the race that is set before us. Patience is a fruit. So you're believing. You're spending time believing. It takes time to believe and that fruit of patience to come. Over in Romans chapter 5, you know, you hear that. Is that tribulation works patience. And patience works experience. And experience produces hope. It's like, hey, God does come through. The expectation, experience produces a regular expectation, doesn't it? Experience with a given certain set of circumstances creates an expected end. And hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So that patience is being produced but through tribulation coming to pass. It says, let us run with patience through the tribulation, the race that is set before us. There's a race that's set before you. Do you know what's happening tomorrow? There's a course that is set before you, and you don't know what the course is. You don't get to find out what the course is, do you? It's amazing. Terrible race. Awful race you have to run. There might be a rock in the road. You think? Have you ever run into a rock in your road? Carlos? You ever run into a rock in the road? You may be sitting next to a rock. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You ever run into a rock in the road? You didn't expect that rock. There's a rock right here. I ran into a rock in my road. Hallelujah. I still got the rock. Praise the Lord. Janet's a good rock. I'm probably not bad myself. I'm a bigger rock than I look like. Run the race that is set before us. That's the race you get. I mean, I'm 5'3", man. That's the one I get. That's all I get. I try to put rocks in my shoes. Make me taller. That's all I get. Amen. Praise the Lord. Nice head of hair there that Jacob's got. That's the race he's got. Sunburn and everything. He's got Bill to look forward to. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, you know. Whew, I could pick others, but I won't. The run the race that's set before you. Well, doggone it. I don't want to run that race. It looks like a bad race. It's already starting out bad. Amen? It's already starting out bad. Your Father. Your Father. Your Father. Your Father. We're getting to Him. So He says, run the race that's set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author. Oh, great. He's the guy that started all this. The author and the finisher of our faith. In other words, Jesus began your faith, and He's going to be see it to the end. If you'll trust Him, do you believe? He's going to trust Him. He's going to finish it. You know, Job did that, didn't he? Job saw it to the end. Man, what a lousy way to hold. What a race that guy had. Did you see that race? Run the races with patience. It's set before you. Well, that scripture wasn't even written yet when Job ran it. You think he might have been the one that wrote it. Run the race with patience. Boy, that'd be a, you know. Job had written that, you know, you've got to think of him a little different. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, see, God has put a joy before you, an expected end, living eternally with your Father, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him. Consider Him. That is, put Jesus before you. Consider Him who endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be, now listen to this, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. So He says, if you're getting wearied and faint in your mind, you consider Jesus. Put your mind on Him. Set your mind on Jesus. Set your mind on what He has already accomplished. Now, of course, you got your big emotional tirade going on. You remember? We talked about that. Anybody remember it? You know, hello. Yeah, you're trying to make everybody think you're okay, but you're getting destroyed because of your emotional distraction, your emotional blow-up, the fact that you know, you believe you're right, you're righteous, and you've got your everything all together in your emotional tirade. The fact that you're right. See, your emotions think that this is right. To scream, to tirade, to fly around without any restrictions. I have a right to be this way. I have a right to be inordinate. I have a right to murder, to destroy anything in my path. That's your emotional bent. Amen? Is anybody like me? Is that true of your emotions? Isn't that true of emotions? I'm not saying all the time, but I mean most of the time. I mean, maybe you're one of those persons who just keeps it all in. It's eating you alive. So you come into the presence of the Lord and believe that I'm wrong. I am wrong. I'm always wrong. I'm always wrong. In this world, I'm always wrong. Coming into God's throne, coming into God's presence, come into His presence. I'm wrong. Thank you, Father, that You love me. See, I'm not talking about a matter of coming in and degrading yourself, but to agree with God so that in the moment that you're in His presence, that you can receive His peace, that you can receive His love, that you can receive what He has already provided for you, is that He has loved you and He is transforming you and He is changing you. In other words, you go in and carrying your old bag, and every day you trade in your old bag for a bag of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because every day you wake up thinking of the old world. Every day there are things that come against you. Every day you're never going to be completely finished in this life. So therefore God says, come in. Come in. And here's what we're going to get to right here. Is that consider Him that endured such contradiction, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. In your mind. You become wearied and faint. You've not resisted yet to blood. You've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you are rebuked of Him. See, for the Father wants to chastise you in the sense that He wants to discipline you as a son. He is your Father. And His desire is to discipline you and to bring you into a place of obedience to the Word of God through His Spirit. That's what all of this is about. It's not because you've sinned and God's getting you. You understand? I'll say it again. It's not because you've sinned and God's getting you. It's He's getting all the stuff. I mean, you are brought up in this world. He's adopted you, and now He's scraping off the barnacles. You know what barnacles are? They're the stuff that grows on the bottom of ships that have been in the ocean a long time. And there's just little growths and little critters and things that get on you, get in you. And what is the, is God is scraping that off, and He's cleansing you. And you know what? It don't feel good. How many know it doesn't feel good? But God's doing that. And that's what you want. Because otherwise, you know, it's like the shepherd with the sheep. He's pulling those little fleas and ticks and bugs and all off that sheep. And boy, that's not comfortable. But I mean, that sheep just gets into everything. He anoints my head with oil. He makes me lie down in green pasture. I'll lie down in somewhere else. I'd lie down anywhere. But He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Even when my enemies are around, He prepares a table before me. I just wouldn't eat. I'd be too scared to eat. But even when my enemies are around me, He's producing a table. God does things I don't want to do. Did your parents ever take you places you didn't want to go? Huh? Did your father ever put you on a thing you didn't want to go on? Your mother make you eat peas? And then did your mother teach you how to cook liver? Or something? I mean, now you're supposed to cook this bad food and give it to your own children. That's horrible. But you needed it. Amen? You needed it. It's good. Okay, keep going. For whom the Lord hates, He chastens. Oh, wait. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, He disciplines. He's getting the barnacles off. He's scraping you, cleaning you. That's what chastening is all about. It's not because, well, you've done badly. Now we're going to have to punish you. Does anybody understand what I'm saying to you? Huh? Chastening is not about because you sinned. Chastening is going to happen whether you sinned or whether you didn't. You mean there's no way out? No, there's no way out. Except open rebellion when you move out of the house. I said, unless you move out of the house. You come in and keep praying and keep worshiping, and you know what? You're going to get chastened some more. Because your Father, what? Loves you. Thank you for your chastening. Father, thank you for your chastening. Thank you that you're chastening me. Wade, your father's still chastening you. Hallelujah. Telling you not to get in debt. Oh man, it'd be better to get in debt. It'd be so much easier to buy stuff. Yeah, but you know what? It'll kill you. Just ask me. Yeah, I tell my kids, I say, look at me. Don't look at me as your mean old man trying to run your life. You know. I say, look at me as a guy who's 50 talking to somebody who's 20. Saying, hey, take it from me. Don't do that. I try to tell kids, tell young people, I try to tell young people right away, live on 70%. Give 10 to God, give 10 to yourself, and give 10 to your retirement. Starting at 18. They don't believe you. Wade, they don't believe you. They don't believe you. 70% is pretty good. If somebody offered you a business proposition and said, we'll split it 70-30, and actually you actually get 20 of the 30. And if you think about it, you actually get all of it anyway. Because if you're given to the Lord, you're blessed. So basically, you still get the 100. But if somebody said, I'll give you a business deal, and we'll split it 70-30, who's got a good deal? If you get 70%, aren't you doing pretty good? 80, wouldn't that be good? That business, wouldn't that be good? 70%. If it's making anything. 70%. So live on 70. Right? Live on 70. Go back and pray. Think about it. Cipher on it. Like Jethro. Do your ciphering. Your Father loves you. He's chastening you. He's disciplining you. He's showing you what to do. Our fathers, you know, well, I don't know about my father, but I'm kind of dumb. I'm preaching from bad experiences. Don't do what I did. Do this instead. Amen. When I talk to young people about getting married, we talk about that. We talk about finances. Talk about money. Do this. And don't get in debt. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Verse 6, chapter 12 of Hebrews. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. Hello. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? What kind of a child would you be if your father didn't discipline you? Wild! And ignorant. Well, I hope you make it, kid. Out you go. God bless you until we meet again. No, that's why we're so mean to our kids. Amen? We want them to be wise. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is it that the father whom the father chastens not? But if you be without chastisement, if you refuse it, if you run away from it, whereof you all are partakers, then are you bastards. You're illegitimate. You're not even sons. If you're not partaking of the chastisement of the Lord, you have declared to God to say, you're not my father. I'm not your son. Because I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to listen to you. Now God doesn't look at you like that. But that's what you're saying about yourself. He's saying that's what you're saying about yourself. Is I'm no longer a son, and I'm no longer partaking of the privileges of the Father. I'm no longer partaking of the privileges of the house of my Father. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, here we go, y'all remember these, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Okay. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? What's the alternative? Dying. For verily they chastened us a few days after their own pleasure. Turn that down! Trying to watch the game. They disciplined us after their pleasure, just for them, whatever they wanted. But He, God, for our Father, for our profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, for our profit, He disciplines me not for His pleasure, but for my profit, for my blessing. If you have a godly father, He's most of the time, hopefully. Me, maybe 60-40. Maybe they get 40% for their profit. Hopefully some for their profit. What are you wearing that Aggie hat for? Some of that. The light's too bright in here. Some of that. Comfortable. Guy comes to church in Aggie hat. What's up with that? Okay. I lost my place now. So He says, for verily for a few days they chastened us after their own pleasure, but He does for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. He's transforming you so that you be a partaker of His holiness. He's chastising you so that you become a partaker of His holiness. Isn't that powerful? And He's doing that. He's doing that. So I just go into the closet and worship Him. And Father, just take it apart. Take me apart. Put everything away. I love You. You're my Father. You're my Dad. You're my Dad. Remember over in 1 Peter, He tells us that He made us partakers of the divine promise. Now, no chastening, verse 11, seems for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, if you're in the middle of problems, lift up your feet, the hands that hang down. Oh man, this has been awful. I just can't stand chastising. Lift up your hands. Yeah, go ahead. That's a good idea. Go ahead, lift up your hands. I'll close my eyes. Go ahead. I won't even look at you. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Lift up the hands that hang down. Thank you. And the feeble knees. Straighten up. You're kind of low down. Stand up straight. It's like the guy who was fasting, you know. He looked around, I'm fasting for God. Well, knock it off. Nobody wants to see you fasting for God. Nobody cares about you fasting for God. They'll just judge you. Okay, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see God. Looking diligently, remember, looking unto Jesus, looking diligently, that is, all the time, that is, keeping your face set straight to be disciplined by the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up, that would trouble you. That is, you've got bitterness in you because you're angry. Lest any fornicator or profane person, such as Esau, for who one morsel sold his birthright. See, when you start thinking on the flesh, thinking on the world, you give up everything. When you start thinking about what you don't have in the flesh, you'll go after anything and give up everything. That's what you do in your flesh. So daily you go into the presence of your Father. Say, my Father. See, He loves you. You go into the presence of your Father who loves you, who is teaching you and discipling you and disciplining you into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of God, taking you out of this world and into the kingdom of His dear Son while still living right here in this earth, right here in your house, coming right here to this church. God is changing you and transforming you. He's changing you and transforming you as you believe that He is your Father. Remember how He taught the Jews? Your Father, your Father, your Father. Well, what's He saying? Your father. Your father. Your father. Is that getting through? You need to be thinking about your father today. Happy Father's Day, by the way. All you fathers. Okay, for you know afterward, when Esau would have inherited a blessing, verse 17, he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. It's not that he couldn't, that he was following his emotions. He was still bound up by his emotions. Even his repentance wasn't repentance. He was just crying because he messed up. A lot of people, we cry when we just because we mess up, and we're sorry that we mess. We're sorry about the consequences. Yet you will not repent. You're sorry about the consequences, yet you still will not repent. God said, "Come and repent and believe. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge." For you, it is, verse 18 says, "Listen to this now. You're not come to the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire." In other words, you're not come to Sinai, where God's going to kill you. But verse 22 says, "But you are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God." That's the Father you're come to. You're come to the Mount Zion, the city of the living God. That's the Father you have. A new covenant. Verse 28. "Wherefore we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." In the last scripture that I want to look at just quickly, and we won't read it heavily, is over in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Look at it with me real quick. Luke chapter 15, verse 16. Or something like that. 11, verse 11. "And a man had two sons. The younger of them said, 'Father, give me the portion that falls to, of goods that falls to me.' And he divided to them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all and took his into a far country and wasted his living. And so he was all depressed. And then he said, verse 18, 'I'll rise and go to my father,' because he's out there in the pig pen. 'Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Well, that's probably true. "Make me as one of your hired servants." And he arose, came to his father, and he said all that. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him. So you took everything, you went off and living riotously. You know what your father did? He ran. When he saw you. When he saw you, he ran. Your father. This is your father. This is your father in heaven when you've lived stupidly. You've lived stupidly. "And the father saw him, he had compassion on him, he ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him." And the son is going, "Oh, Father, I've sinned against you." He's a good religious boy. He said, "Kill for him the fatted calf. Put a ring on his finger and robe on him and shoot on his feet. But my son was dead and he's alive." You know that's what God says about you. That's what your father says about you. You were dead, but now you're alive. When you believe, that's when you're alive. You know, you just come on back. Just come on back. Even in your smelling like the pig pen, come home. Do you smell like the pig pen today? Maybe you're a young person and you did pig pens. Can't even say pig pen. You did pig pen stuff. Amen? You did pig pen stuff? Maybe you're not too young and you did pig pen stuff. Just come home. Quit wasting time. Come home. Quit wasting time. Come home. Come home. Father said, come home. The father's looking every day. The father watched every day. He was watching every day for him. Your father is watching every day for you. Did you know he's watching every day for you? He's your, well, I'm talking about your father. This is your father. He's looking every day for you. My son was dead and he's alive again. He's lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Then there was an elder son who was all depressed because they didn't even know that living in the house, he had everything. So you got wild people and you got religious people and they both don't even know the Father. Amen? You got good people and bad people and neither one of them know who the Father is. Are you a good child? Good son? But you're mad at the bad son? Let him go. Rejoice. Your brother was lost and he's found. He's dead, but now he's alive. The Father said, everything you have is mine, as always has been. You're living in the Father's house. You know, the thing is, say you like to prove to yourself, tell yourself that, you know, you don't get anything. You're not worth anything. You're working very hard to be worthy. See, that older son was working very hard to be worthy. And the Father said to him, everything I ever had was yours. Everything I ever had was yours. Amen? Everything I ever had was yours. But you are busy working up a sweat. Working up the sweat to get it on. Listen to me. Don't work up a sweat. Just let the Father chastise you. Let Him cleanse your barnacles off. Just worship Him, praise Him, thank Him. Tell Him Happy Father's Day. He loves you. Your Father in heaven. Your Father in heaven. I'm ascending to your Father and my Father, your God and my God. Now, you understand what I'm telling you today? Get rid of all the stuff you're thinking about in this world. Quit letting the world and your emotions rule your life and say, you know, I'm sick and tired of all the sick and tired stuff. Just let God love you. Let His Word and His promise and His chastising come upon you and let you be changed. You're being changed. You're being changed. Let's thank Him for it. Amen? Thank Him for it. Praise Him for it. Glorify Him for it. See, you want to let go of your love of this world from here. I know in your emotions, you probably won't do that. But right here, you begin to believe the Word of God instead of the Word of this world. Begin to believe the Word of God instead of the Word of this world. Instead of your emotions. Your emotions are, you tell them to hush. You don't, even if they won't hush, you don't let them run your life. You don't let them run you anymore. No, I believe. Because my Father loves me. You know, I've kind of said tons and tons of things today. I hope somebody got blessed. Hope you've received it. The fact that you are your Father's child and He's turning you into a son, a daughter, and He's transforming you Himself by His Spirit. Amen? And that's all the time we got. Praise the Lord. Father, we bless You. Let's stand together. Father, we love You and praise You and bless You and glorify You. You are worthy of all of our praise. And we thank You, Lord God, for demonstrating Your love to us through Jesus. And Father, that You have in fact used Him and You have taught us that we are Your adopted children, those whom You chose. And that You are causing us to be transformed by Your love. What son is it that the Father chastises not? Whom the Lord loveth, He chastises. He is our Father. And He runs to meet us. And we give You all the praise and the thanksgiving for it. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance and give you His peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. If you need prayer this morning, come on down to the front. Come on down to the front and just receive just prayer. Just let the Lord minister to you today. Amen? I said amen? All right. No service tonight? Spend time with your family? I love you all. God bless you.